Our second reading this morning is from Luke chapter 10. Let us listen together for God's word. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him in pairs to every town and place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the laborer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into its streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. Whoever listens to you, listens to me, and whoever rejects you, rejects me. And whoever rejects me, rejects the one who sent me.' The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, in your name even the demons submit to us.' He said to them, 'I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven.'" This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, as you sent those disciples so long ago through your Son, may we also hear his call today. Speak to us by the power of your Spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I've mentioned several times in passing that I once lived in West Michigan just for a few short years, and I was about 15 at the time that this happened. My father, as you know, is a pastor, and there was a congregational meeting at his church. It was a Sunday afternoon, and my family and I were there, and the purpose of the meeting, now I was 15, I was a teenager, the purpose of this meeting was to decide whether my life was ruined or not. That's sort of how I viewed it. Really, it was about whether or not my dad would remain as pastor. I have very vague memories of that meeting. I remember people getting up to speak in support of my dad and others getting up to speak in opposition to my dad, and I know that the meeting ended unfavorably for us, which is why I lived there only for a few short years. But I have one very clear, very specific memory of that meeting. My dad had to stay longer, but my mom gathered my sisters and me, and we walked out the back door of the sanctuary. And as soon as we left the building, my mom bent down, she took off her sandals, she wiped the dust off her feet. And she walked barefoot all the way across the parking lot to the car. Now, as a 15-year-old, I was no biblical scholar. The gesture was completely lost on me, I think on my sisters as well. But as soon as we got in the car, we asked her to explain. And of course, she pointed out this story where Jesus says, "If the town does not welcome you, shake the dust off your feet." This town did not welcome a minister of the gospel, and so he and his family left. Now, Jesus sends out the 12. As you know, our guest preacher last week used a text from Matthew very similar to this one, in which Jesus sends out the 12 disciples. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, each in their way, tell the story of Jesus sending out his 12 disciples. And these passages are often looked at as a sort of template for professional ministry, as this is the shape that it would take in the early church, apostles, prophets, and teachers traveling around from town to town. They're not on a salary. They don't work for a church or a denomination. Instead, they rely on the hospitality of those that they meet along the way. It makes very good sense to view these passages as just that, a template for what the life of ministry looks like. For my parents, it was an appropriate metaphor, an appropriate lens through which to view the way that things happened for them in our church in Holland. Three Gospels tell the story of Jesus sending out the 12, but Luke does something different. In chapter 9, Luke tells that story, but now here in chapter 10, Luke also tells us the story of Jesus sending out 70 more. And we should take notice. Something new is happening here. Something different is going on. And the first thing that we need to know, the first thing that Jesus, or that this passage demonstrates to us, is that we are all laborers. We may see in the sending of the 12 a sort of template for professional ministry, for people like me who preach and who went to seminary and all of that. But that can't be the way that we understand the sending of the 70. The sending of the 70 suggests something different. It suggests that the task of proclamation is a task that is for all disciples, not merely the trained, not merely the paid, not merely the 12 disciples, but the task of proclamation is extended to everyone who follows Jesus. The 19th century Danish philosopher Soren Kierkegaard wrote this: "People have an idea that the preacher is an actor on a stage, and they are the critics, blaming or praising him. What they don't know is that they are the actors on the stage. The preacher is merely the prompter standing in the wings, reminding them of their lost lines." The task of proclamation is extended to all who would follow Jesus. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Now, the way that these words are often understood, the way that I have always thought about these words, is that it's a very clear metaphor. The harvest, of course, are the people out there who need Jesus, the people out there who need to find God. And we are the laborers sent out into the harvest to gather these people into the church, into relationship with God, into an understanding, a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. But that is a tall order for most of us. Most of us would probably feel that we are not very well equipped to go out into the streets of Milford, to call people to repentance, to even to invite them to church. These are challenging things to do. You've probably never noticed me out on the street corner calling people in, and that's because I've never done it. Even I do not feel equipped to do such a task. I think the way that Jesus means this to be heard is not so much that the people out there are the ripe fruit of the harvest and they need to be brought in here. Jesus is using a harvest metaphor simply because that, for everyone who's listening to him in the first century, is the meaning of work. All work is oriented around the harvest, whether it's planting, whether it's tending, or eventually reaping. It all is about the harvest, because the harvest is what sustains life. Jesus is saying to the people, there is a lot of work to be done, and there are very few to do it. There is a lot of work to be done, very few to do it. And we are all laborers. We are all disciples. We are all sent by Jesus out into the fields. We don't have the luxury of hearing in these words a definition of a priestly class or an ordained class of ministers. Instead, these words are for all of us. We are all laborers. Second, the fields are out there. Now, that sounds very obvious, and it is, of course, but I think it's worth exploring. In the 10th chapter of Genesis, one of those very, very boring chapters of the Old Testament, The text lists the descendants of Noah and the nations that descended from Noah's descendants. It is a list, it is intended to be a comprehensive list of all the Gentile nations of the world, which is to say, their understanding of the entire inhabited globe. And the number of nations that are listed in Genesis 10 is 70. 70 nations, 70 Gentile nations, 70 peoples out in the world. It is significant that Jesus selects 70, just as it was significant that Jesus selected 12 to reconstitute the 12 tribes of Israel. Jesus is selecting 70 to signify the movement of the gospel to the entire world. The fields are out there. The followers of Jesus are sent everywhere. They're sent out there into the fields for the sake of the world. Just as you can't reap a harvest from inside the barn, so you can't do the work that Jesus has called you to inside the church, because the fields are out there. I was in a meeting of some members of our presbytery on a committee that I'm a part of, and a pastor who is a pastor in the city of Detroit was describing an experience he had had, a gathering of community leaders trying to discuss ways to address and strengthen the communities in which they live. And someone was up front with a couple of pieces of chart paper. And on one side, they began by listing the assets of their communities. And they listed things like the parks, the schools, public transportation, businesses, and so on. And then on the other piece of chart paper, they listed the liabilities, the challenges that the communities face. And they listed things like crime, poverty, struggling public schools, blight, and so on. And this pastor who was in a meeting with me telling us this story raised his hand and said, "What about the church? The church isn't on either of our lists." And someone responded, "We don't know what to make of the church. We don't know what to make of the church." We, the church, not just Milford Presbyterian Church, but the church everywhere, we have had a tendency to ignore the world for the sake of the church. Our communities don't know what to make of us. Are we an asset or are we a liability? Jesus, on the other hand, is calling us to ignore the church for the sake of the world, to go out into the fields to work for the kingdom. He says, "I send you as lambs among wolves." Because as we go out into the fields, our communities may still not know quite what to make of us. Will we be met with contempt or hostility or suspicion or apathy? Nevertheless, the fields are out there. And out there is where Jesus calls us to be. And finally, Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. He gives these instructions to the 70. No purse, no bag, no sandals. Those instructions today might sound more like no wallet, no spare clothes or food, and no car. What does this mean? What could these instructions possibly mean? Were these 70 really walking barefoot from town to town? What I think that they mean, these instructions, are to leave behind what makes you feel secure and self-sufficient, to leave behind what you rely on from day to day, to leave behind whatever prevents you from trusting in the Lord of the harvest. Maybe you're busy because you have so many concerns and obligations of your own. Leave it behind. Maybe you're timid because you feel you're not gifted enough. Leave it behind. Maybe you're hesitant because you worry how your efforts will be received. Leave it behind. You're reluctant because the world's problems are so big. Leave it behind. Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. He is the master of the work that is being done in His name. He is the supplier of gifts. He is the nourisher of souls. He is the planter of seeds. He is the Lord of the harvest. As Jesus' disciples, as his students, as his followers, we have one job and one job only: to proclaim with our words and, more importantly, with our action that the kingdom of God has come near. We are all laborers. We are laborers in the fields, and the fields are out there, and Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. There is a lot of work to be done and very few to do it. And so Jesus says to us, go on your way. And the Lord of the harvest is with us. Let us pray. Send us out into the fields, O God, not because we are strong, not because we are capable, not because we are persuasive or confident, but because you go with us and because your task calls each and every one of us to put to work the gifts you've given. Give us the courage to follow you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.